Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Jamie Floyd in for Brian Lehrer. As part of Mayor Bloomberg's initiatives to improve the lives of Black and Latino teenagers, New York City public high schools and middle schools will be required to teach sex ed, including STD and pregnancy prevention. Right now, it's up to individual schools to decide when and whether to teach sex education. Some of you might remember that in 2007, a group of Bronx middle school students started advocating for mandatory sex ed in their schools and got some attention when they testified before the city council about that need. They attended after-school sex ed classes through the Bronx nonprofit, the Women's Housing and Economic Development Corporation, known as WEDCO. Nancy Bieberman, WEDCO's founder and president, came on the show with one of the students back in 2007. Those students have now graduated from high school, and Nancy is back with two of them, Yanilsa Frias and Catherine George, and they're here to talk about the new mandate. Welcome back to the show, all of you.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Thank you.
So, all of you must be very pleased by the mayor's decision to require sex education for middle school and high school students, right?
Yes, definitely.
Very exciting.
Let me start with Yanilsa and Catherine, who are our two students. Why did you see the need for sex education in middle school? That's 6th, 7th, and 8th grades, essentially, here in New York City, right? Pregnancy prevention really needed in 6th grade?
Well, it started off as an advocacy project in 7th grade, 2006, and we had to come up with different ideas, and we thought that we came up with the idea that teen pregnancy was occurring around our neighborhood. We actually, witnessed what was going on, and so we thought, and nobody was, talking about it, so we thought that it was important to us in the community for people to be informed on, sex education.
Yeah. And I know that the teen pregnancy rates are actually down in the South Bronx, but I did see in the Daily News that in North and Central Brooklyn, 47% of high school students have sex at least once at age 13 or earlier. That's according to the health department survey back in 2009. And more than 25% report not using a condom the last time they had sex. Does that surprise either one of you, Yanilsa or Catherine?
It's not surprising. We had to do extensive research to kind of formulate a plan and formulate what we would teach our students. So we found rather shocking statistics that kind of allowed us and propelled us to create a curriculum. And I feel like our program just covers a wide spectrum of sex education that allows these things to stop happening. Basically protection and communication skills that we teach our students.
And Nancy Bieberman, WEDCO's founder and president, why did WEDCO decide to get involved in this in the first place?
Well, I have to say that we were the fact that no sex ed was being taught in New York City's public schools at the time that these girls brought it to our attention came as a surprise to us. Most of us were around and remembered the time, 20 years ago, when there was mandatory sex ed in the public schools. And I think we were sort of kind of lulled into believing that it continued to exist, even though it had stopped. And when we heard about when these girls brought it to the attention of our staff members, we started asking around and found out that indeed it was true that there hadn't been sex ed taught in the city schools for quite some time. And from our perspective, what we were seeing were, young girls who were, and I mean young, very young, as young as 15 and even younger, were getting pregnant, were having babies, and we're dropping out of high school.
Mm-hmm.
And we know, and studies certainly have borne this out, that a child who is born to a teen mother and who doesn't graduate from high school, that child's chances of growing up in poverty go from 7% to 64%. So, you know, what we're talking about is, you know, is a number of lives being affected by the decision to have a baby when you're still a child.
And it puts it squarely in the mandate of the Women's Housing and Economic Development Corporation, your organization, and individual schools could decide when and whether to teach sex education. But with all of the cuts and challenges and resources, clearly, unless it was mandatory, most schools probably would have opted out. Nancy, we want to take calls from any of our listeners who are parents or teachers or principals to see how people feel about the new mandate. Is teen pregnancy a problem in your school or in your area? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Nancy, are you familiar with the out-of-the-box curriculum sets that the schools will be using, Health Smart and Reducing the Risk? Do they differ from the lessons that WEDCO offered? And how specific are they when it comes to pregnancy prevention and disease prevention?
I think the curricula are good. And, you know, they are definitely, as the health department has, you know, continually said, they are definitely evidence-based, you know, which means that they have been shown to, you know, reduce, you know, the age at which a young person becomes sexually active. And, you know, they are successful in teaching kids about the importance of, you know, trying to prevent sexually transmitted diseases and pregnancies that they don't intend. I think the most important thing for people to keep in mind is that there are 20,000 teen pregnancies every year in New York City, and 90% of them are unintended pregnancies. Huh. You know, that's a staggering figure. So, you know, we have no issue at all with the curricula. We just want to make sure it actually is taught in the schools as part of the regular school day.
Is abstinence included as part of the curriculum?
Yes, of course. Abstinence is always included. And abstinence certainly, you know, is something that, you know, young people should be taught that, you know, they do have a right to say no if sexual activity is not something that they want. But if sexual activity is something that they are exposed to, they need to do it safely, and they really need to have information about what their options are. You know, it's every bit as important as learning math and English.
Now, I understand that the classes will be co-educational. What about the classes, Yanilsa, that you were involved in? Were those co-educational? And what do you think about that? Is that workable?
Yeah, they were co-educational classes. Can you repeat the question, please?
Well, how do you think a co-educational class works? Is that obviously it's better than no class at all?
Of course.
But do you think that that's ideal?
Yes, we have to teach both boys and girls about sex education. I feel that everyone has the right to learn the right information and get the right information from people that know this. They should, I think, co-education should, I mean, boys and girls should learn about this.
And Catherine, I agree that boys and girls should learn, but what about the option of breaking them into independent groups, boys learning in one place and girls in the other, if it were an option? Of course, resources are an issue. Mm-hmm. Or perhaps they learn something from one another.
I believe that I think that they should all be placed in the same room. I think that boys and girls kind of learn from each other, and our curriculum was taught by boys and girls. There would be a girl in the room and a boy, and, you know, there would be boys that would be a little shy to ask the girls questions, the girl educator questions, because we were based on a peer education program where we were able to teach children from 6th to 8th grade, so we kind of see firsthand how that affects the students and how they kind of work together to understand sex education and just to learn from each other's opinions and from what they see in the media. This, I believe, is important for them to be together.
And Nancy, what about the self-selection component? I mean, the classes clearly made a difference for our two young women who are joining us today, Yanilsa and Catherine, and for the other students who took them in 07. But the students who are motivated to take a class, after-school sex education class, are probably less likely to engage in the risky behavior in the first place. And these are students who advocated for this. There must be some component for those who are mandated to take it that might make it less effective. As with any kind of class that you're mandated to take, you know, a compulsory math class or anything that you must take in high school or middle school.
I think there are really two things to say about it. One is that, you know, you're absolutely right that, you know, when it's an after school or an optional program, you're clearly reaching the kids who are more motivated, more interested. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, we thought that it was critically important that this become something that was mandatory and took place during the school day so that they really, you know, young people needed to hear this information, needed to learn it, needed to receive it, you know, in whatever, you know, manner was most effective, but as, you know, on par with everything else that they were learning. Now, whether it can be effectively or perhaps even more effectively communicated by peers and taught by peers, I think is something that's really worth exploring. As part of the mayor's, you know, mandate, or not mandate, you know, as part of the initiative to work with young men, one thing I think is really worth considering is whether the degree to which young men can be trained, you know, to be peer educators, you know, on matters of, you know, sex and health and healthy lifestyles in the same way that Catherine and Yanilsa were. I do think that young people, you know, we parents always talk about peer pressure and the things that peer pressure can do to our children. Peers can also have very positive influences on young people, and we've seen that with the peer educators in our own program, and I think there are enormous possibilities for using young, you know, young people who currently don't have any work or any prospects, but, you know, that they can be engaged in, you know, teaching and mentoring younger people, and, you know, this is a subject area that they could be extremely effective.
Let's take a call from Eric. He is in Queens. Eric, welcome to WNYC.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I'm a high school health educator, and I'm actually very pleased that they're having additional education. My problem is that I feel like our hands are tied because there's no opportunity to do any condom demonstration. They talk about doing things in the health resource room, but that's really not realistic. And I wonder, why is it that they make this so difficult to really even talk about condoms or actually do a demonstration? We can talk about them, we just can't actually show them.
Well, there are, constraints placed, aren't there, Nancy, on what can be actually demonstrated in the classroom and how far the program can go. There are concerns from parents. In fact, I think we may have a parent on the line who has a very different feeling about the program, and we do want all views expressed. So let's take a call from Francisco. Francisco in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
I think it's the job of a parent when he's ready or she's ready to talk to their kids about sex. Now, I don't have a problem because a lot of parents are not mature or responsible enough to talk to their kids about sex. And if the school is willing to help you, it's okay. Now, my problem is, as far as I know, that they're going to teach you also, teach the children about gay and all. I don't know about that. To me, to tell a kid that it's okay to be gay, I don't think so.
All right, Francisco, thank you for your call. Nancy, Francisco raises a couple of issues. First of all, there are some parents who simply don't want the school talking with their children at all about sex. And then both callers raise the issue about the parameters of the program. What will be taught to the children, how much can be taught to the children, and when, at what age level. And I guess that gets back to the curriculum. Can you address those points?
The curricula that I've seen definitely teach things in an age appropriate way. I think that nobody would suggest that. Maybe some people would suggest, when should a child be taught, how to put a condom on? And frankly, I hope that the curriculum and the teachers, are permitted to show young people how to do it, because the fact is they're learning it anyway. They're learning it, from places where they may not be learning it correctly. And the most important thing is to prevent sexually transmitted diseases and to prevent pregnancies that are unplanned and unwanted. And as for the parent who, doesn't want the child to learn about any of this in school, as I understand it, parents will have the opportunity to opt out and have their child not participate. So I do think that, that the way the city is proposing to go about implementing the curriculum is age-appropriate and offers parents the opportunity to opt out.
And I suppose the opt-out is something that some would be concerned about. Are you, Nancy?
Yes, I am concerned about it. I think that as adults, we should always err on the side of giving young people as much information as possible so that they can make informed choices. We shouldn't assume as parents that we are the only sources of information for our children. Our children receive information from a million different sources, from Facebook, from all the social media, from TV, from music videos. So, we can't raise our children in isolation from the rest of the world. And I think we have to assume that they're getting information, and we have to do everything in our power to make sure that the information is accurate and will help them make good choices.
All right. Well, we'll have to leave it there, and I think that's a powerful thought on which to end. You are listening to The Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC Radio, AM and FM. And on the web at WMYC.org, I'm Jamie Floyd, filling in for Brian. I was joined by Nancy Bieberman. She is the founder and president of the Bronx Community Services Organization, WEDCO. And the two young ladies you heard from were Yanil Safrias. She was a Bronx Public High School graduate. She's headed to Ithaca College this fall, by the way. And Catherine George. She will be heading across town to the Brooklyn College Conservatory of Music. Thanks to all of you. Best of luck to Yanilsa and Catherine in college. Coming up next, sharing custody after a difficult divorce. Stay tuned.